Hello, everybody. Welcome to MTG Place Podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James and Josh. How's it going, guys?
Doing good here. How are we all doing today?
The pre-release was this weekend. Hope everybody had some fun if you played in it. I did. Had a blast.
Heck yeah.
Comes to Arena on Tuesday of this week.
Should be probably today.
Yeah, if they're listening. Yeah, it's probably when this releases.
All right, so we're going to finish up the review of what we didn't get to last time. So, James, you want to start us off wherever we left off?
Yeah, so we made it through just the colored cards. So we are starting with the multi-cards. And our first one is Assimilation Aegis. It is one and Azorius, or white and blue, for an artifact that is also an equipment. When Assimilation Aegis enters the battlefield, exile up to one target creature until Assimilation Aegis leaves the battlefield. Whenever this becomes attached to a creature, for as long as this remains attached to it, that creature becomes a copy of a creature card exiled with this, and it has equipped two.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. You get to get rid of something, and then you can clone it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, worst case is an O-ring, and then you can just turn your worst creature into what that was.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting spin on it, I guess.
Yeah. Reminds me of Fractured Identity. Sure isn't the best, because once this gets destroyed, it comes back to them. But still interesting.
Yeah, you can maybe wreak some havoc for a turn or two, you know, until they get irritated enough and get rid of it. Yeah, I'd say that's a decent card.
Yeah. It's okay. All right, we got Saturo, the Infiltrator. Blue, black, 2/3 human ninja rogue legendary. He's got menace. Whenever Saturo and one or more other non-token creatures enter the battlefield under your control, if none of them were cast with no mana was spent to cast them, draw a card. So this triggers off all of your plotted cards.
Yeah. That's like what you're going for here.
Or if you have like something that just casts something for free off the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just rip it off.
Or the Ninjutsu Saturo.
Yeah, Ninjutsu would work too.
Natural order stuff.
Mm. Yeah, it's all sorts of cheeky little things you can do with this, right?
Yeah. Ninjutsu itself. Ninjutsu itself.
Yeah.
It's a 2/3 with menace.
Mm-hmm. Really two. Cheap, too. Like, only two to play. It's not bad.
This actually might be really good. I played the original Saturo, the one from Kamigawa, that gives everything ninjutsu. So, I mean, I do a weird combo with it where I can just infinitely ninjutsu. This would draw out my whole entire deck.
You just draw your card. Mm-hmm. Or draw your deck, yeah. Yeah, then you play, Thassa's Oracle and just win?
Yeah. Once I'm there, I just loop in a random ETB where it was just like, opponent loses one life when he enters battlefield. And
that's
what I went there. But, I don't know, it actually seems pretty good for, like, just normal ninjutsu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super good.
Solid. Low cost, low to the ground.
Yep, we love that.
Next up, we got a cool, the Unrepentant. It is black, black, red, red for a 5/5 legendary creature, Scorpion Dragon Rogue. It has flying and trample. You can sacrifice 3 other creatures to put a creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. Activate only as a sorcery and only once a turn.
Okay.
That's pretty sick.
That seems pretty good, right? You sacrifice 3 tokens and you play something good, right?
Mm-hmm. Arazaketh.
Yeah. That's good. I mean,
Avacyn, Angel of Hope.
Yeah. Iona, you know, whatever you want. Many good targets for this. I mean, in some kind of token-based deck, this seems super, super, super good. It's 4/4/5/5 with flying and trample too. Hello? Like.
Yeah.
Very well statted.
Double black, double red pip, which is hard to do, but.
Yeah.
I mean, good. If you're playing Rakdos, you probably have a lot of dual lands. So.
Yeah, if you're playing a Rakdos deck, you're probably going to be okay. If you're playing this in a five-color deck or something like that, multicolor deck, that might be a little more difficult. So your filtering will have to be really good for this to fit. But I'd say it'd be pretty worth it, though, because this is going to do some work. Seems pretty good.
Artwork's fantastic.
Yeah, artwork's amazing, for sure. Freaking awesome.
Scorpions, man. Is this new?
Scorpion dragons now.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing, man.
All right.
They're scary. Dragons with like scorpion tails.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Shit's insane. All right. We'll move on from here. We got Laughing Jasper Flint. It is 1 and Rakdos for a legendary lizard rogue creature. It's a 4/3. Creatures you control but don't own are mercenaries in addition to their other types. At the beginning of your upkeep, exile the top X cards of target opponent's library, where X is the number of outlaws you control. Until end of turn, you may cast spells from among those cards, and mana of any type can be spent to cast those spells.
Yeah, this is insane and limited, by the way. So,
super, super good, yeah.
but, I mean, so it turns all the stuff you steal into outlaws, all the creatures you play.
Yeah, I mean...
Eventually you're just getting free spells every turn. It's just drawing you cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Wonder if you... I don't know.
You're just, like, stealing a bunch of shit, basically?
Steal a lot. Trigger this a lot. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely ways to do it.
I mean, if you have, like, ways to get multiple upkeeps, you can just keep doing it.
The new Obeka?
That's the thing. Yep. There are definitely ways to do that. There are a few ways to steal shit.
You could play this one. Was Zedru black?
No,
Zedru's not black, so this would not work in Zedru, sadly.
He's like a five-color steel creature. Yeah.
Blim, I want to say. Blim, comedic genius. Yeah, that's the Rakdos steel stuff.
Yeah, so this would fit in that pretty well. Definitely.
Is that gives away stuff. Right. We have...
I mean, you're still going to, like, no matter what, the first time you get one, and then you'll get, you know, two if you cast one of the creatures, and then if you just play any other creatures that are outlaws, it goes up to you.
Right.
Okay, the bottom ability doesn't care about outlaws that you don't control but own. It's just number of outlaws you control.
Right, but everything you cast from your opponent's deck becomes a mercenary in addition, which makes it an outlaw.
Yeah.
But what if you, like, made infinite creatures... at some point that were outlaws.
Yeah.
Exile your entire opponent's deck. That could be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get it up to like 4 or 5, it's like a draw 5, cast the best thing. Like, everything else is exiled from your opponent. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super good in limited.
That seems good, yeah.
Thinking in like commander build this, just get infinite tokens somehow.
Yeah.
Deck your opponents. All right, we got Rakdos joins up. 3 black red for legendary enchantment. When this enters the battlefield, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield with 2 additional +1/+1 counters on it. Whenever a legendary creature you control dies, this deals damage equal to that creature's power to target opponent. 5 mana reanimate is always kind of pretty slow.
Yeah.
But that second ability is pretty decent. Sucks that it has to be legendary, though.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there is a Legendary's Matter deck you can put it in.
Yeah. As long as you have enough that this will work with, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay, but I think in general, the joins up cards aren't super strong.
yeah, they're very mediocre from what I've seen.
But what you want that when a creature dies, deals damage to its power. That's usually like non-legendary creatures, like tokens and aristocrats and stuff. So that kind of
that's usually more what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're not going to have copies. Of it. It's basically just going to be like you could when if your thing happens to die, you could deal some extra damage.
Yeah, which sure is kind of nice, but 5 mana seems like it's a bit high though. So we'll see. I guess it's definitely a decent effect. It's just if it's worth it, you know.
It's like if this was like green. I mean, you could put this in a Jun deck, like a Throwmok. I'm thinking that has like Devour, or like a Mycoloth dies that deals crap tons of damage.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be super.
I guess Mycoloth is not legendary.
It's okay but in Mycoloth. Like what's the one where you're sacrificing shit all the time?
Like an altar deck or something.
Some sort of aristocrat.
Yeah, aristocrats.
But they need to be legendary.
Korvold.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Like, you just make keep getting Korvold big and then fling him off or something. You could actually play Fling on a legendary and then you'd get it twice.
Yeah. Maybe a lot of setup for that, but sure, I guess. Just I like for that one trick. But hey, it'd be pretty cute.
Yeah, it's a powerful effect. It just sucks that it's legendary.
Yeah.
It makes it not powerful.
Yeah. It would be. It could be so much better.
Next up, we got Rakdos the Muscle. 2 black red for a 6/5 legendary creature demon mercenary with flying and trample. Whenever you sacrifice another creature, exile cards equal to its mana value from the top of target player's library. Until your next end step, you may play those cards, and mana of any type can be spent to cast those spells. Sacrifice another creature, Rakdos gains indestructible until end of turn, tap it, activate only once each turn.
Mm. Okay.
It's still a free sac outlet, which that on its own is pretty good. Yeah,
I played this in the 2-headed giant, like all 4 games, and multiple times, I just had my one mana guy out that dies into a 1/1, and I would just like sack it off on their turn to exile the top card, and then until the end of my next turn, I could cast it, and then I get the 1/1, and my guy becomes indestructible, and it triggers a crime because I'm targeting it.
Right.
So
it's just combo city, basically. It's just a super
enabler. You can do a lot of like little tiny loops with it.
Mm-hmm. Which is nice.
Over and over and over because of the once each turn, but it's like you can do it on your turn, you can do it on your opponent's turn.
You can do it whenever you want, basically, which is nice about something like this, especially since you don't have to.
But it's definitely way better in like Commander because you could just aristocrat off some BS.
Oh, yeah. Aristocrat your bullshit.
So.
This basically never leaves the field unless they like they have to path it or something basically to actually
get
it.
Yeah, it's the exile.
Yeah. So like it protects itself really well, and this is gonna be great for anything.
I mean, it's just like a 5-mana 6/5 flying trample. It's a big demon. It's good.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's good.
You put this in your demon deck.
I gotta edit the demon deck. There's quite a few new ones. But most likely, every version of Rakdos has been in it so far.
Yeah, I mean, Rakdos has been pretty good over time. And this one seems pretty good, too, to be honest. So
you can do, like, Gravecrawler loops or some sort of, like, Sac Outlet loops. Scrap Trawler and Mirror Retriever thing.
What's the landfall on? Bloodghast?
Yeah, Bloodghast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not OG. Super infinite, but doing like loops just to exile cards from target player's library, deck themselves.
Yeah. Oops. I like that. Probably gonna see that around a fair amount, I think, because it's really good. All right, our next card is Roxanne, Starfall Savant. It is 3 and Gruul, a red and green, for a 4/3 legendary cat druid creature. Whenever this enters the battlefield or attacks, create a tapped colorless artifact token named Meteorite with when Meteorite enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to any target, and tap add 1 mana of any color. Whenever you tap an artifact token for mana, add 1 mana of any type that artifact token produced. Wow, this has a lot of utility. Jeez, okay.
Yes, you guys remember Meteorite, how bad that card was?
Yeah.
I played it.
It was 5 mana for deal 2 damage, tap for a mana.
Yeah.
Well, now you get a 4/3 that also allows it to tap for an extra mana on top of that for the same mana cost.
Yeah, but this enters and attacks, though.
Yeah, you also get it again every time you attack.
So that makes it a lot better, honestly.
I liked Meteorite. Like I tried it out for a bit. It wasn't good, but it was better than you thought.
Right. But I don't know. This seems like this could definitely be playable. I mean, the fact that you basically get double mana. And that's the thing. It's not just those. That's any artifact, by the way.
Artifact token. So,
token. Sure.
Yeah. Hurts it a bit.
But yeah, so what are artifact tokens? Lotus petals treasure tokens.
Lotus petals, though.
I mean, yeah, the token version of lotus petals.
So broken.
Like that seems super good. Yeah. You know.
My first thought goes to Svela Ice Shaper. I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but from Keldheim, you tap 3, tap it, make an icy manolith that taps for 1.
Oh yeah.
Any color, then you can like tap 6 and kind of go low something.
Well, there's what's the other thing? There's the mana rock that like you can pay 5 or something and you make 3 copies of it.
Oh.
Then you have like 4 mana rocks, but 3 of them are tokens.
That would be very interesting.
Replicating ring.
Replicating
ring is the one where that gets up on upkeep, and once you get like 8 counters, it makes like 8 of them.
Yeah. I mean, you also have stuff like Rite of Replication, too, which you can replicate all sorts of things, make a bunch of tokens. You know, there's plenty of ways that you can definitely make this work if you really want to.
Like, and you have Thopters and have, like, a way to have all creatures have tap out of mana.
Right.
Yeah, like just Urza.
Creature tokens.
Literally Urza.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Urza tapping Thopters is doubled.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Who needs Cradle? I have Thopters and Urza in this.
Right.
Yeah, this in the right kind of deck. Like, obviously,
this card is very powerful on its own, and if you build around it, it can be even better.
So. It can be super, super good when you build it in something.
Hilarious that they're making green, red, more artifact cards. It's like,
yeah, it's very
don't do that.
Different for Gruul. Usually don't really, unless it's like equipment, that's usually kind of it. But
Awesome space to explore.
Yeah, very interesting. I like it.
Is that like a chocobo in the background? I don't know.
It kind of looks like that.
I love it.
Yeah, again, really cool art. Love it, for sure.
All right. Selvala is back.
Again.
Eager Trailblazer.
I hope he's better.
2 green-white for 4/5 Legendary Elf Scout with Vigilance. Whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 red mercenary creature token with tap target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn, activate only a sorcery. Then you can activate her by tapping, choose a color, add 1 mana of that color for each different power among creatures you control.
Okay, sounds that's interesting.
The adding mana power is much worse than the other Svelas, I see it.
Yeah.
But it has the added ability of whenever you cast creature spell, create a 1/1.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, getting a 1/1 whenever you cast creature is good.
I mean, that's fine, sure. Especially with something like Doubling Season, of course.
Yeah.
But the whole +1/+0 thing is kind of whatever.
I mean, the mercenaries are going to help you change your creature's power so you can at least get like 3 mana off this.
Yeah.
So.
trying to think of like some Teamer Sabertooth things you can do. Or Teamer Sabertooth is pay one and a green, return a creature you control to the owner's hand. It gets indestructible, and then you keep playing like Dockside Extortionist or something, where then you get infinite creatures, things like that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, obviously creating tokens is always fine, especially when you don't really have to pay anything to do it. You just have to cast something. Like, that's great, but outside of that, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
Probably make it, I mean, Teeper Sabertooth again, but like Earthcraft those tokens, and then you can feed into that mana, get some sort of EDV, White Mane Lion type shenanigans. It's definitely, I feel like that's what you're building off of, is the cast creature spell. The power thing is much worse than any other Savala we've seen.
Yeah. I feel like you can definitely make it good, but you're going to have to work for it. Definitely. And I don't know if it's worth it.
I think it's pretty good, but we'll see.
Yeah, I have to see.
Next up, we got Seraphic Steed. It's one and a green for a 2/2 unicorn mount with first strike and lifelink. And whenever it attacks while saddled, you just make a 3/3 white angel creature token with flying, and its saddle cost is 4.
Okay.
So just saddle it, swing, get an angel.
That seems pretty decent, right? Especially in Silesnia. I mean, hell yeah.
Saddle 4 is a lot.
It is a high saddle cost.
Definitely. Like we were saying, all rares are good and limited, basically. But Commander, like, you're 2/2 again. You're just making a 3/3. I guess you're doubling season type things. I don't even think I would run this in Angel Tribal. Like, I don't know about this one. Seems kind of weak.
I mean, you saddle 2 tokens, so like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, because say you have Intangible Virtue or something, you have 2 tokens, or you just have a 4/4.
Yeah.
Tap it, swing,
which you know, in all honesty,
like just having the you all know you already have the saddle because you made it, but you just keep doing it every turn. I don't know. It's not horrible. It's not great. It's super great either, but.
Yeah.
It's just super weak. That's like the thing that's really going against it, I think.
It's very easy to build.
It is super cheap though, which that's good. It's definitely good, and it does have some like, nice abilities attached to it.
You know, first turn 1/1, 2 mana 2/2, 3 mana 3/3, tap the 1/1, the 3/3, you get a 3/3.
I mean, this is a super good starter. Like, if you have this in your opening hand and you're able to, like, go play it, jam it right on turn 2, like, fuck yeah. That's a very good opener. And, like, it'll do some work until it'll probably inevitably get killed off in a few turns. But, hey, it'll make you some tokens and you'll be, you know, pretty happy about that.
Yeah. It's like magical Christmas land, though, is what you're thinking. It's like, it's good in the beginning, but when late game.
Yeah, late game, this is going to kind of cry, sadly, I think.
I'm not a fan. I like the art again.
This art is sick, by the way.
Like the clouds are the wings.
Yeah, I love it. It's just, looks like this in foil probably looks incredible, honestly. This would be a really pretty foil card.
Yes.
But yeah, like limited, sure. This is great, you know, obviously. I don't know about Commander.
They're rare.
Yeah, it's a rare. Yeah. All right, we moving on to Wily Duke, Atene Hero. One in Selesnya, green and white, for a 4/2 legendary human ranger creature. He has vigilance. Whenever he becomes tapped, you gain 1 life and you draw a card.
So this combos with the guy we just talked about.
Yeah.
It saddles.
Right, exactly.
And then it taps, and you gain a life, draw a card.
Okay, all right.
That's kind of cute.
That's the curve unlimited. You'd be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you have any way to just tap this, like just tap your own creature, because it has vigilance, so you attack and then just tap it. Draw cards, Keen Life.
I love Earthcraft too much.
Earthcraft, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the Native American representation here. That's badass. I don't find that much often in Magic cards.
No, you really don't at all.
Okay, I got it. So you enchant an aura onto him that he taps for mana, right? So he can tap for stuff, draw. But then you draw into like all of those green one mana spells that say untap this creature. And then you get to tap it again for more mana, draw a card, play Legolas's quick reflexes, untap him, tap him again for more mana, draw a card. So you're doing Celestia's Storm of just all of these things that untap him while he can tap for mana.
Or and you just, you know, have Earthcraft as any color mana?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I believe
Earthcraft,
so.
Or just Earthcraft and like Pendant's Aura.
That just make him untap. Well, yeah, then you just go
Pendant's Aura. But
this has, you can't run that in Celestia.
No, you have to have blue too.
Yeah, yeah. You have to splash. For sure.
What else can you... I don't know if you can untap. That's all I'm thinking of is like Legolas's quick reflexes and cards like that where you can like storm off in a way with Earthcraft and other things.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another Celestia that whenever she taps, you create a 1-1? I think there's a lot of combos there. I forget which one it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure off the top of my
head. I guess making a creature is much different. Because you can run like Thornbite stuff.
There's also, isn't there just an equipment that untaps the creature?
I know, maybe? Like that staff that does everything has to tap. I mean, it will cost a lot.
I thought there was something that was like pay 3 untap, untap it.
Yeah.
Or pay 3 untap. It's like its ability. I don't remember. It's like equipment.
Mm. Well, I mean, of course you have the Legacy Elves combo. Like that's all. But that's all about basically between Heritage Druid and Nettle Sentinel and all those. Like that's what the deck's really built around. So there's definitely stuff that does that.
Staff of Domination, pay 3, untap target creature, and then pay 1 to untap staff. So 4 mana, you'll need the loop.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
Earthcraft, you enchant your basic land with more Wild Growths and Utopia Sprawls. Get there.
You get there eventually.
Celestia Storm, man. It's going to be a thing here.
I mean, green kind of has some stuff that does that to begin with. So, I mean, sure. It's definitely doable. I don't know how viable it would be, you know, but...
If I didn't just make a new commander in this set, I would do it. I'd show you guys the storm in Celestia.
The way of the storm.
All right, move on to Kambal. Profiteering Mare. One white and black for 2/4 legendary human advisor. When one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your opponent's control, for each of them... Sorry about that. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your opponent's control, for each of them, create a tapped token that's a copy of it. This ability triggers only once each turn. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life, and you gain one life.
Okay.
This hoses your opponent's token decks.
Yeah, literally.
Well, if they make a lot of single tokens. If they make a bunch at once, you just get one.
Right.
At first thought goes to the hunted creatures. You guys know about the hunted creatures? They make tokens for your opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get them too.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
This is the first Blood Artist in the command zone. Ilkor MTG. See, legendary? He was legendary. Never mind. Ilkor is much better.
Yeah. I mean, it's decent. Just to play against tokens and the hunted things, you're right. You get a bunch of triggers.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
What if it's not into...
It's not, like, push or anything.
Yeah.
It's a 3 mana 2/4.
Which is fine. You know, you
probably just play this as a aristocrat deck anyway, as like a blood artist in the command zone.
Yeah.
Just instantly. Yeah. Oh, you're playing tokens? Well, I thank you.
How nice.
Yeah, I mean, you could just play the bat that does a similar thing. Like, it's almost better than this.
Right.
That was the Mirkwood bat or whatever. It's like whenever a token leaves or enters under your control, they lose life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, better Blood Artist type effects, but this is in the command zone.
Right. Mm-hmm. True.
Decent, but probably better options. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're in a meta with people playing tokens,
well, yeah, here's this card's for you.
All right, next up we got Breaches the Blast Maker. One blue red for a 3/3 legendary creature goblin pirate with menace. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, you may sacrifice an artifact. If you do, flip a coin. If you win the flip, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for it. When you lose the flip, Breaches deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to any target.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
So either way, you get the cast of your spell. You just either get it again, but you have to sack an artifact to trigger this ability.
Yeah, right. That's what hurts. You've got to sack an artifact, but yeah, there's an upside to both sides.
So yeah, it's pretty big setup cost. You need to double spell and have an artifact to sack.
Right, it's your second spell you cast. Which is very, is it? But, oh, this is kind of cool.
All the hoops, but
it's cool, but yeah, hoops. You got to jump.
It's a lot of hoops, though. Yeah, right.
There's better stuff. Like,
yeah,
Crack the Thumbless is just, he has partner two, which you can partner up with blue creatures.
Yeah, right.
There's better things. I think you would just play this if you like the character.
Yep, definitely. It's definitely unique, but it's, yeah, there's better stuff that does similar things, especially to this, so that's easier to cast.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah, sadly. All right. Next card we got is Lila, the Undefeated Slick Shot. One and is inner blue and red for a 3/3 legendary human rogue creature has prowess. Whenever you cast a multicolored instant or sorcery spell from your hand, exile that spell instead of putting it in your graveyard as it resolves. If you do, it becomes plotted.
So you cast it twice. Yeah, as it resolves, mm-hmm. You cast it twice.
Yep.
Yeah, so you cast it once and then you can cast it again on a later turn without
paying. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. This card, so on the other hand, this card is very good.
Yeah, you just have to build your deck with a bunch of multicolored instants and sorceries.
Yep. Yeah, as long as you're playing, that's like, that's so much easier.
Is it?
Like, if you're playing, is it? Sure. No problem.
Commander. You know, this might be a deck where you could get away with just all spells and no creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just have this commander. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, just have this do commander damage to people. Like,
I mean, definitely you still run Dockside Extortionist, right? I mean, you can't not go without that.
Sure, if you want to play the chalk.
Mm-hmm.
Cards everyone plays.
Right, come on. Right.
They're the good cards, though.
I know. Sometimes you want to be different.
I'm not like all the other spell-slinging decks. I'm built different.
So they all say, give them a month.
This card seems cool, though. I like it.
My buddy plays a Rammos deck that's all multicolored, like, charms and things. And so this, every single ultimatum, I get a cast again.
Yeah,
that seems good. Fuck.
I'm not sure because it's multicolored inside this being the commander, but this inside, like, a five-color multicolored deck seems pretty sick.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, you don't have to, like when it's plotted, you don't have to pay the cost either.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super awesome. It's basically like a rebound. But it's a rebound that you can choose when it happens. It just has to be a sorcery. But that's still pretty cool, though, I think. I think this is good.
I wouldn't, I don't know about this being a commander, because if you want like a prowess commander, there's better ones like Elsha the Infinite. It has prowess itself, and that one you can just combo off with Sensei's Divining Top. And
sure, right.
I would see this as a 99 card.
Yeah, it'd be a super good 99 card, though, especially in a deck like that.
So, Standard Sorcery. All right, we move on to Malcolm the Eyes. So blue and red for a 2/2 flying haste, siren pirate legendary. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, investigate.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, filler card again.
Yeah.
Artifacts matter decks is, yeah, it's something you'll be interested in, but
it's good and limited.
Yeah.
It fits the Izzet theme for sure. There's definitely, are there better cards that do stuff like this? Sure. Definitely cheap, but it's also, you know, easily killed and all that. So
I don't know. Is this even like it being a legendary creature hurts a lot for like standard and stuff like that.
You can't play four of them. That's unfortunate.
I mean, you can. You just have to wait for it to die.
Right.
Yeah. You'll be sandbagging one of them until the other one dies.
Yeah, it's that always sucks when that happens.
So I don't see this card being played anywhere besides limited.
Yeah, I don't think it's that good.
Oof.
Like, I'd rather just play the uncommon that has flying haste and gets a 1/1 counter when you cast a spell. Like,
oh, yeah, it just gets bigger, yeah. Oof.
Yep.
Next up, we got Pillage the Bog. It's 1 and a black for a sorcery. Look at the top X cards of your library, where X is twice the number of lands you control. Put one of them in your hand, the rest in the bottom of your library in a random order, and you can plot it for 1 black-green.
Seems nuts.
Yeah,
Golgari seems really does good. Not get cards like this.
Nope, they really don't. To this degree.
Unless they're tutors.
Like, later in the game, it's like, look at half your deck.
Literally. Like, you wanna find something, you will find it.
Like, if you have, like, 8 lands, it's like, look at 16 cards.
It's like, Jesus, man.
Put the best one in your hand.
It's super, super good.
It's great.
Yep. It's very good. Very versatile.
Yeah.
Worst case, it's like an anticipate. Like.
Yeah.
But like, it's like sand or sandbags. It snowballs like as the game goes on too, so it scales like naturally. Like.
I mean, it's always just to draw one, but it's draw the best one of your X cards.
Right, but you can find what you want basically. That's good.
Yeah, this would be like the backup tutors. I mean, tutors are just going to be better, but...
Sure, it costs one, but...
Yeah.
This is the demonic tutor on budget.
Yeah, the budget demonic tutor.
Demonic tutor at home.
Don't worry, I don't want to play cards other people play. This is my tutor.
I'm going to pillage the bog instead.
I really don't even play that many tutors. I do play demonic tutor if I play a tutor, though.
Right.
It's a pretty good card.
All right, moving on. We have the Gitrog Ravenous Ride. So it is 3 black and green for a 6/5 legendary frog horror mount creature. Has trample and haste. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice a creature that saddled it this turn. If you do draw X cards, then put up to X land cards from your hand onto the battlefield tapped, where X is the sacrifice creature's power. And its saddle is 1.
Yeah, so you saddle whatever creature you want.
So literally anything.
Yeah. You usually don't want to saddle 1.
No, but... you're going to do something bigger, probably. But you can literally use
anything. I mean, it's kind of like you could use it as like a mini greater good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That has almost more upside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you put the lands you draw into play, at least.
Yeah, which is actually really sick.
Card, not discard 3. Yeah, this that. Now that you put it that way, that's pretty good. It is greater good. You can just keep going and going and going and going, which is the broken part about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a 5-mana really do nothing until my next turn.
No, it has haste.
Well, it has trample haste, so you can do it right away.
Got haste.
Yep. I know, right? A black green card with haste? What?
are we in Golgari these past two cards? I know, right?
It doesn't feel like it. No, yeah, like this card's super good, honestly. Like,
it looks sick. All right. All right. Yeah. I'm on board.
I guess he's just doing some deck. Real shit. Yeah, you can fucking go hard, man. Especially if you have like a shit ton of land that's coming up too. You just ramp a fuck ton, basically.
Yeah, you can put a bunch of landfall triggers into play.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially if you're playing landfall. That'd be super good.
So I have a card I play in one of my mono green decks. It's called Scouting Trek. It's a sorcery, one in green. Search your library for any number of basic land cards. Reveal them and set them aside. You shuffle your library, then put those cards on top of your deck.
Oh, that's cute.
So you can just play them all.
Yeah. All right, I have a 6/6 I'm going to sacrifice. All right, let me Scouting Trek for 6 lands.
Oh, look, I can now play my big shit that's in my hand or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. It's the biggest ramp ever. Yeah, this can be super dirty. So yeah, this is a fun card.
I mean, you get to be riding a giant Gitrod monster.
Yeah, so, I know, right?
Just like Thalia did.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think in the Vorthos realm, I thought I'd read something where Thalia died to this. Like it's inside Gitrog's mouth or something. I wasn't getting it.
I don't know much about the lore, but sure.
So I don't know if Thalia's dead or not. I don't know. Something's wrong. Where is Thalia?
Yeah. Yeah, this is love it. Super cool.
We'll move on to Frasca Joins Up. I get all the Joins Up cards. All right. Black and green for legendary enchantment. When Frasca Joins Up enters the battlefield, put a death touch counter on each creature you control. Whenever legendary creature you control deals combat damage to a player, draw a card.
This one doesn't seem too bad.
It's okay, but not great. Like, do I care about death touch on creatures unless I'm playing a bunch of 1/1s?
It doesn't have like flash, which that would be the thing you get.
That would be the thing for sure.
And then the legendary creature deals damage, draw a card is whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. Why is it legendary?
Why is it always legendary?
And it being a legendary enchantment, it's like it's hard to play in standard and things. Yeah.
Like, why is there so much?
Because it's going to go in the legendary's Madras deck, probably, and that's about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is it even good there? I don't know.
I mean, all your creatures will draw you a card then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the death touch counter is pointless.
It's fine.
You have a bunch of 1/1s, but
if you have like trample,
like
or
if
something.
You're playing like a board of 1/1s, then sure. But
or if you have like trample or something, so they get trample death touch.
Yeah,
like that's always good, sure. But yeah, it's what I mean. Sure, it's you get and if you don't have a big board of creatures, then this doesn't really do anything. So then you're just like whatever. But yeah, yet another joins up card that's like, it's fine, I guess.
Next up, we got Vraska the Silencer. It is 1 black green for a 3/3 legendary creature, Gorgon Assassin with Death Touch. And whenever a non-token creature an opponent controls dies, you may pay 1. If you do, return it to the battlefield tapped under your control. It's a treasure with sack this mana. Or would sack this artifact, add a mana of any color, loses all their card types.
So it literally becomes a treasure token.
Basically becomes a treasure, but you keep any like static effects the creature had.
Right.
So if you like get an Elish Norn, you still get the buff.
Yeah.
That's sick, for sure.
Or enter the battlefield effects.
Yeah, ETBs, all that. That's kind of cool.
You gotta hold up that mana, so like if this is your commander holding up Golgari stuff, it's not like holding up blue mana.
Right, yeah.
You don't really have much to do there.
Yeah, like Golgari can definitely afford to do that.
But you just hold up a kill spell with it. But yeah.
I mean, if it's black, then sure.
Then what's
your point? It's good flavor, right? Like the Gorgon's turning him to stone, basically.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Turning him into artifacts.
I don't see it as a commander.
No, it's not good. Maybe a 99 card. I mean, it's again, it's another Vraska card, but I don't know. There's better ones, in my opinion.
When she was a planeswalker.
She was a good planeswalker.
Yeah, but she lost her spark now. Now she's just a really good legendary creature.
It's a cool effect. I don't know. This is what I kind of want to see in action, like, before I can really say how good it is. But I feel like in certain situations it might be pretty decent, but you have to have the additional mana up and all that, so it's like it's got some caveats, I guess. But
you can't take your opponent's commanders because they'll just do the replacement effect.
They'll just bring it right back. Back in the good old days, you could do that, but
oh yeah,
the old good old days of commanders. Back in the day when I used to play Oblation my commander deck, because I'd be like, oh, you know, shuffle it in your library. Bye-bye. Oops. No more commander for you.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore, sadly. All right, moving on. We got Bruce Tarl, Roving Rancher. It is 2 in Boros, or red and white, for a 4-3. It's all these legendary creatures. Legendary human warrior creature. Oxen you control have double strike. Interesting tribe. Whenever Bruce Tarl, Roving Rancher, enters the battlefield or attacks, exile the top card of your library. If it's a land card, create a 2/2 white ox creature token. Otherwise, you may cast it until the end of your next turn.
I mean, impulse draw, but if you hit a land, you get a 2/2 ox.
You get a dude.
And all the oxes have double strike.
Are there any other, like, ox cards and magic?
There's a handful, yeah.
I feel like there's not very many.
They're all not great, though.
Yeah, they're not very good.
It's not like you can build a deck around.
There's like the one ox in the one set that had the combo with the plow. It was like a 0/13 or something.
Oh.
There's like the old ones in Ice Age.
Card later we'll talk about. He makes an ox.
Right. So. Yeah, it's a little bit of synergy, but like not like. It's more just for this card, which is fine, you know. It's kind of interesting.
It's just
effect.
Impulse draw in Boros, which is good.
Yeah, which is fine. Boros loves that's what it does. So, and you get you basically get an upside too if you get a land. So it's like cool. I make dudes that have double strike.
Should we switch to our segments?
Segments.
All right, I'll start off with my Jink combo. We'll go with an old card. Island Sanctuary. 1 and a white with our enchantment. You skip drawing a card. But until the beginning of your next turn, only creatures with flying or island walk can attack you. Use this ability only during your draw phase and only one sheet's turn. So only flying and island walk things can attack you, right? You're pretty protected. It's like the moat, where only flying can do. But then you play a card called Mystic Decree. 2 blue-blue for Enchant World. All creatures lose flying in island walk. So now nothing can attack you. Rude. Forever.
Rude?
You're just protected.
Oh my gosh.
You're stuck in your pillow fort.
So it's the kind of deck that we all just love to play against, right? It's just like, oh, this is cute. It's just like, oh good. We don't get to play the game anymore.
Yes.
All right, Corey, you got a crazy card for us?
Yeah, my crazy card this week is Asmarano Manarmana Nananadvakultikar.
Excuse me? I want to run that by us some more time.
Asmarano Mordica Dastinikulakultikar.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a 3/3 legendary creature human wizard. As long as you discard a card this turn, you can play hybrid red or black to cast a spell. When it enters the battlefield, you search your library for a card named the Underworld Cookbook. feel it, put it in your hand, then shove it. You sack two foods to deal 6 damage to itself. But this is a crazy card because half the people in Magic can't even pronounce his damn name.
Yeah, that name is something, man.
All right, let me try. Asmorando Mordekastikindekuldekar.
That's probably pretty close.
Sure, we'll go with that.
What, this was an early flavor text, like way back in the day.
Yeah, an Alpha's Granite Gargoyle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. That makes sense. Yep. Yeah, you don't usually see cards like that anymore that have insane freaking names.
That was in Modern Horizons 2.
Yeah, that's a new card.
Yeah, which is crazy. It sounds it like one of those old school ones, you know, from like forever ago. All right, on to a card that you can actually pronounce, most likely. at least hopefully. Jungle card this week is a card called Mirari's Wake. It is 3 green white for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana of any type that land produced. So this card is super good for especially token or go wide creature decks, because you get a blanket buff on everything, which is always, you know, a pretty nice thing to have. But then what really shines about this card though is the extra mana. Like, extra mana is always super good. And you're just able to do so much more, especially if you have like different dual lands, because you can choose a different color. Because it can be any type of thing that your mana produces. It won't like double your cradle or something like that. You'll just get additional green for like what your cradle would produce. But like, yeah, it's super good for like something like Exotic Orchard. You know, you can do like multiple different colors with that. You can do multiple different colors from different shock lands or any other kind of land that does double, you know, different stuff. So double colors or triple colors if it's a triome. So yeah, it's really good for that. Really good for fixing. Really good for, you know, just or filtering rather. And yeah, it's just it does a lot of work. I mean, it's 5 mana. It is a bit to get out, but once you have this thing out, like it just, yeah, you basically have double mana, you know, at the very least, and your stuff gets bigger. So very good for any Selesnya deck or, you know, other variations of the colors.
Yeah. It's definitely the cheapest one out of like being 5 mana over Zendikar Resurgence or Mana Reflection.
Yeah, because that's like 7 or 8, I think. And yeah, 7. Like, there's other ones that do similar stuff, but yeah, they cost a lot more generally. Yeah,
so this one gets down earlier to help get bigger things out.
Yeah.
Maybe like if you're doing a Palakron combo, tap untap 7 lands. Oh, that's, they tap for more. Now I can bounce Palakron back and play Palakron, get infinite mana.
Yeah, you can combo off it too. That was great.
Sorry. Hey, combos. Combos. All right, we got back to Ty Waken, Perfect Shot. A red and white for a 2/3 legendary human mercenary. Whenever a source you control deals non-combat damage to a creature equal to that creature's toughness, draw a card. So, a Perfect Shot. X tap, if a source you control would deal non-combat damage to a permanent or player this turn, it deals that much damage plus X instead. So you can help aim it to be a Perfect Shot.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Okay.
It's okay. I mean, you could do like Burn Deck Tribal if you wanted with it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You can make your sack a creature, deal 1 damage to any target. Red enchantment. Things that like do just 1, you can help really push it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're casting stuff like Lava Dart, you know, it does 1 damage.
Yeah, you could like dump your mana into this and then just like play a creature and have the impact tremors or whatever. Just
that's
a super good use for this. Yep. Because the impact tremors is a great card. It's on its own, especially if you're playing a very, you know, wide creature deck. That'd be a cute little combo with this. Like this
Goblin
this...
Bombardment. There you go.
Yeah, there's a card. There's definitely some cards that this could definitely combo with, for sure. Just playing it willy-nilly, like, it's fine. I don't know, it's the most amazing thing ever, but in a burn-type deck, yeah. I think this could be pretty good, for sure. Very interesting.
Next up, we got Bonnie Paul, the clear cutter.
Paul Bunyan.
Yep, there he is.
3 green, blue for a 6/5 legendary creature giant scout with reach. When it enters the battlefield, create Boo, a legendary blue ox creature token with this creature's power and toughness or each equal number of lands you control. Whenever you attack, draw a card, then you may put a land card from your hand or graveyard onto the battlefield. It's whenever you attack. It doesn't have to attack.
Yeah, it's any attack trigger, which is pretty decent.
Simic again. They draw cards and play lands.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
This actually seems really busted, though, just because you could play a land from your hand or graveyard and draw a card just when you attack. Like, why? Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a lot of triggers, honestly.
I just built this commander and real paper and played it over the weekend. About like four games. Super fun.
Yeah, I could see it.
I built it in a weird way where it's like cloning Bonnie Paul. So like Sakashima's, I have the mirror box that like legend rule doesn't apply, so I'll have multiple oxen. Use the oxen to sack him to greater goods. Like a 20-20. Those ox get huge. Sacking, like drawing 20, discarding 3. I'll send a link to Corey and put that in the show notes if you guys want to check out my deck.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's fun.
It's hilarious.
If you're, true
Minnesotan.
Yeah, Minnesota represent right here, everybody. Yeah. Like, if you're from Minnesota, this is like our heritage in Magic now. So, which is pretty great. Like, we literally have statues of Paul Bunyan up north, like in what is it, Virginia? I think.
You guys been to Paul Bunyan World?
Paul Bunyan Land,
I think I was a long Bunyan time ago, like when I was a kid. But that's like a rite of passage when you live in Minnesota. Like you go there at some point in your life. Yeah, cool card. Again, the art is awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
great flavor, especially with like the legend and everything. So yeah, I like this. This is cool, and it's also really good. All right, the moment we've all been waiting for. Everyone's favorite planeswalker, Oko, is back. But this time he's Oko the Ringleader.
No shirt.
Yeah, very shirtless again. So there you go.
How did he not find a shirt
in all this time?
Well, I mean, it's just going to get dusty in the old Wild West anyway.
That's
where he could just spray himself off.
So he's doing a Simic or green and blue for a legendary planeswalker named Oko. He comes into play with 3 loyalty counters. He has a static ability of at the beginning of combat on your turn, Oko, the ringleader, becomes a copy of up to 1 target creature you control until end of turn, except he has hexproof. That's cute. All right. His +1 is draw 2 cards. If you committed a crime this turn, discard a card. Otherwise, discard 2 cards. Okay, so you got to commit crimes. His -1 is create a 3/3 green elk creature token. Well, there's the elk, of course. Have to have that. And then his -5 is for each other non-land permanent you control, create a token that's a copy of that permanent. All right. So you just double your board.
The doubling season check works.
Yep. Literally doubling season, basically.
Well, no, you get two copies of everything because you're getting a token of everything you have.
Oh, well, yeah, right.
And also, doubling season is when a planeswalker enters the battlefield, they gain the loyalty.
Yeah, yeah. So you ult immediately. That too.
You ult them right away.
Two copies of everything you have.
Oh, gross. Love that.
Busted with doubling season. We broke it.
Super good with doubling season.
No way.
Wow.
But I think normally the play pattern is probably going to be either play it and then you try and plus two twice to get the ultimate, or you just make it alchem to draw some cards.
Yeah. Passes the test where planeswalker making a body to block for them.
Yep, that's good. That's good. And he even becomes some. He can give himself hexproof too. So he can protect himself.
Becomes a creature, so you can attack with it if you want.
Yeah, you can attack, and he can't be targeted. Like if they want to target him, you can. You know, I don't know if you can do that in response, but at least at the beginning of your combat, you can do that. Which, So he's able to gain hexproof. He's able to create dudes to block with, basically. He draws you cards as long as you're, you know, targeting stuff, basically. And then he'll just double your board. So, sure.
I mean, it seems good. If I have a Grave Titan out or something, too, I can just attack with
really
a Grave Titan. Falco is a Grave Titan. And then
oh, my God. This and Grave Titan? Too.
Let's go.
Gross, dude. Yeah.
Four mana is a little steep, I guess. I mean, that's pretty normal for planeswalkers, but we know the three mana ones are busted.
Yeah, that's the pretty typical run-of-the-mill planeswalker cost.
He's good. He's not as good as OG Yoko.
No, he's not OG Yoko. OG Yoko was busted, but he's still pretty decent, I'd say. He's going to hold his own for sure. He passes all the planeswalker tests, so there you go.
Yep. All right, we got Ariette, the Beligular. The
Beguiler.
Beguiler? I learned a new word today. One white, blue, black for a 4/4 legendary human warlock with lifelink. Whenever an aura you control becomes attached to a non-land permanent an opponent controls with mana value less than or equal to that aura's mana value, gain control of that permanent for as long as that aura is attached to it. So you play one of those goading vows onto opponent that's a 3-drop or less or whatever, the same one, and you get him?
Yeah, or you could just play like your spirit loop on their creature or animate dead or whatever.
Has to be equal to the aura's mana value, so you only get the 1-drop or the 2-drop.
Right. Well, classification, get their big thing, and it's plus 20, plus 20.
Green card, but yes.
Oh, that's right, it's a green card. What's the indestructible thing? What does that cost? Like 4?
3.
3? You can only steal cheap creatures. What the hell? Yeah. What is an expensive one of these colors?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
It's not a ton.
Anything super expensive probably already gives you control. Like control magic.
Control magic.
Yeah, so that shit usually costs 5, and that's generally kind of like the upper level of PT. So yeah,
I don't know. It'd be fun to try and build around it, but I don't know how good it's going
to
be.
I mean, to be fair, annoying creatures can be cheaper creatures. So like, there's that. You can get stuff that has abilities or status effects, or
definitely take the stacks pieces, the Orcish Bowmasters or Thalia's,
things like that. You're gonna have a hard time getting their Elishnorn,
Thalia. Bunch of pacifism type stuff too, and so like you either get control of it or they just can't,
or they don't do shit. Yeah, that's a thing too. That's a very viable play.
What's nice is that I know there's some of them that you can pay mana and just bounce it back to your hand. So if board wipe's coming or something, just switch it onto somebody else.
Okay, too.
Switch it off. Or you just have sac outlets. You just pick something, sac it, get that one back, play it.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool card. This is one I would like to see played, though, for sure. Before, see how actually viable it is, I think in specific situations it could be okay.
Next up, we got Marchesa, the Dealer of Death. It is Grixis, so blue, black, red, for a 3/4 legendary creature human rogue. Whenever you commit a crime, you may pay one. If you do, lose the top two cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the other in the graveyard.
Oh, okay.
So anticipate whenever you commit a crime.
Yeah, literally. That seems pretty good, right? Because how often do you commit a crime?
You should have folded when you had the chance.
Because we were joking about, like, how often do we commit crimes in Magic? Basically all the time. I mean, come on. So as long as you have mana up, like, yeah, you get to look at shit.
There's ways to do infinite crimes, like I was saying before. There's zero mana activated abilities.
Yeah.
That touch your opponents. So
how good is pay one, like, anticipate or whatever that effect is?
That's the question.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I think it's okay. Yeah, it's pretty. I'd say it's pretty decent. Cheap, yeah. Has a big enough.
I mean,
butt,
would you pay one draw a card? Because this is better than draw a card.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It has a big enough butt, so it's not going to get bolted easily.
Like, I always say card draw in the command zone is very powerful, so.
Yeah.
Probably going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say this is going to do some work. All right, our next card we got is Obeika, Splitter of Seconds. It is one and Grixis, blue, black, red, for a 2/5 ogre or legendary ogre warlock creature. It has menace. Whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you get that many additional upkeep steps after this one or after this phase.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Hello.
Really fun.
This seems super
like a fun build around deck for Commander, just playing a bunch of stuff that triggers on upkeep.
Yeah, and it's just like buff this too, so it's just like it's huge.
Yeah, then you get a bunch of upkeeps.
Yeah, a fuck ton of upkeeps.
Looking at a card called Darksteel Reactor. It's a 4 mana artifact. It's indestructible because it's Darksteel.
Of course.
But at the beginning of your upkeep, you put a charge counter on it. And when Darksteel Reactor has 20 or more charge counters on it, you win the game.
Okay. Combo?
So, well,
there's a win con.
You can also play like Paradox Haze in this deck.
Yeah, exactly. Paradox Haze. You get like the shrines, so like you do shit on each of your upkeeps. Like you draw cards, you deal damage,
are awesome.
Do the shit the shrines do. Like that would be sick with this, honestly.
Yeah. This seems so fun.
Yep. I love it. It could only be the Grixis ones if you're having this as your commander, so you can only do blue, black, red. So
yeah.
But honestly, the blue, black, and red ones are the good ones anyway, right? Like the green one gives you a dude.
Like medium, it's just discard.
Oh yeah, the black one's discard.
Blue is draw and red is deal damage.
Right. I forgot what the white one does. Oh, it's gain life.
White one is gain life. Yeah. The green one is 1/1 token.
You get a dude, yeah. So, I mean, you miss out on the life gain and getting a dude if you're just playing these colors, but, I mean, that's still fine, right? I mean, you can do plenty with that. Make them not have cards, you rack them, basically. And then you deal a fuck ton of damage, and then you draw an ass ton of cards. Like, seems good.
You also play that Sphinx that gives you a whole other beginnings phase.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that really can synergize with this. Like, this seems like this could be a really fun deck.
Yeah. All right, we got Annie Flash, the Veteran. 3 red, green, white for 4/5 legendary human rogue with Flash. It's in the name.
Mm-hmm.
When Annie Flash enters the battlefield, if you cast it, return target permanent card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. Whenever Annie Flash becomes tapped, exile the top 2 cards of your library. You may play those cards this turn.
Ooh, sick. Okay, so a little impulse action.
Again, then with the tap tips, tippy taps.
Tippy, tippy, tap, tap.
Earthcraft. Shout out again.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 3 CMC or less matters card.
Yeah. That's interesting, right? 6 is a bit.
Earthcraft.
Hey, there it is.
It has flash.
It has flash, though. Yeah. So, which is good. You get shit back, like, tapped, sure. But, like, if you don't play this on your turn, then you don't really care. Right? I mean.
Yeah. Reanimate on Naya is pretty different. And it's permanent. So maybe I'm building around lands matter and I'm getting my Crucible Worlds back that they just blew up.
Or a Wasteland or something. Yeah. For being that kind of magic player.
Yeah, it does get lands too. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Hmm. Get back your good lands, or like they blew up your cradle, get that back. Or yeah, you're playing like a Crucible deck, get back your Wasteland and blow their shit up. Like, yeah, a lot of stuff this can do, really. It's pretty versatile.
Yep. Six mana is a lot, but...
Yeah, that's the only downside is it is expensive. But if you're able to play it, yeah, it does a lot.
Cool.
Next is Annie joins up. One red, green, white for legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, deals 5 damage to target creature or planeswalker and opponent controls. And if a triggered ability of a legendary creature you control triggers, trigger it again.
Dang.
Okay. It's got to be a creature, so it can't be like a planeswalker or something like that, sadly. But, yeah, in a legendary matters deck, doubling effects could be okay.
Depends on, like, your commander, I would say.
Yeah.
If it your really commander depends. Has a good trigger ability.
It's right. Okay with Annie Flash. Like,
yeah, with like her ability, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
And the a tap one would trigger twice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Paying 4, but dealing 5 is still a decent rate, too.
Yep, that's decent. Like, that's definitely not bad. And it can be Planeswalker or creature. Can't be face, sadly. But, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah. If your commander has a good triggered ability, I would look into this.
Yeah. This is by far, like, the best joins up card we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. All of them. Like, all the other ones have been kind of eh. But this one's actually decently statted, and actually, like, doubling triggers is usually pretty good. So, yeah, it's hard to fuck that up. All right. Next card we have is Gearred, Mirror of the Wilds. He's Naya, so red, green, white. For a 3/3 legendary creature, that's a human shaman with haste. Non-token creatures you control have tap. Create a token that's a copy of target token you control that enter the battlefield this turn.
So you can populate your token for every creature you have in play that's not a token.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
That's actually kind of cool. Yeah, that's pretty
good. It doesn't say to end a turn either, so like you keep those tokens. Like you populate, like you said. Yeah.
So you don't necessarily lose the creatures because they're replacing themselves like by, you know, tapping them down. It's like, sure, you're tapping them down. You can't attack with them per se. You have to do it when they come into play anyway, so they're sick, right?
Right.
So like what else are you doing with them? Like,
I mean, you still have them for your next round.
Yeah. So, like, unless you're trying to tap them down for some other effect that you have, but... So, yeah, I guess, like, they're kind of just sitting there doing nothing anyway. You may as well tap them to create a copy of itself.
Create a token of target token you control. It's not creature token, too, so if you make some tokens...
Yeah,
of
if
something...
you make a treasure, you could tap your non-token creatures down to make some treasures.
That's kind of cute.
Or like we were saying,
it also works with the other, like his rhino commander of himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Him himself works with himself.
Yeah.
We were saying you can make tokens of really anything nowadays.
So. Yeah, you really can. I feel like this could get like crazy in the right kind of deck, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you play a lot of cheap creatures, yeah.
And then you have something in play that doubles the shit, like a doubling season, a parallel lives, something like that. With this, like, you can just go, just explode, yep. Right? And then all your creatures can basically do that. Like, who needs risks? Yep. I'm not going to pay six. I'm just going to tap my creature and fucking just copy shit that way.
It's definitely the balance of finding token cards and, like, real cards, but those real cards are probably just going to be your mana dorks.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. This is pretty cool, I think. I think this
seems... Everyone run Dockside. It's red. Be a normie.
Be a normie. Run Dockside.
Run Dockside, your red deck.
Yeah, I think... I really feel like this could...
Oh, okay, so that means in this deck, you got to run Dockside. You got to run Smothering Tide.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to run Doubling Season, Parallel Lives.
Yeah. Are you even
Primal Vigor. I mean, it has white in it, so you may as well play the white god that triples your effects. I mean...
It's like you're saying you're not putting in a Soul Ring or Command Tower.
Yeah, I'll put in Command Tower. Put in Soul Ring.
Put Command Tower in every fucking deck. Come on. It's not
it's
even
the most
expensive.
Broken land in Command
Tower. Command Tower only uses up a land slot, though. It doesn't use up one of my card slots.
No. Right. But yeah, super good, I think. Like the only thing is, yeah, it can be bolted, sure. But other than that, I mean, and he has haste, so he can trigger right away too. So you can basically make a copy of him, right? Or
no, it needs to be token.
Okay,
unless
yeah.
you make a token of him, which is possible.
Yeah.
You suck at shooting it.
That'd be interesting.
All right, we got Kellen joins up. Green, white, blue for the legendary enchantment joins up. When this enters the battlefield, you may exile a non-land card with mana value 3 or less from your hand. If you do, it becomes blotted. Whenever a legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Which actually seems better than most of the...
Yeah
that one's not bad.
For 1/1 counter on all your stuff, but again, you have to play... Creatures then.
Yeah, it's gotta be legendary shit again.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, you're go wide deck, and then you play your commander, and everything gets +1.
Yeah. That's fine, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what if your commander is this guy, Kellen the Kid?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
He is green, white, blue for a 3/3 legendary creature human fairy rogue with flying and lifelink. And whenever you cast a spell from anywhere other than your hand, you may cast a permanent spell with equal or lesser mana value from your hand without paying its mana cost.
Oh, fuck.
If you don't, you may put a land card from your hand on the battlefield.
Oh, sick. Okay. That seems pretty good, right?
So, shit. Plot cards, foretell cards, casting stuff from your opponent's library. Best impulse drawing off yours.
Yep.
Desire.
Yeah, Mind's Desire.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that works with this.
Impulse draw, but you're playing Bant.
You're not playing red though. That's or Boros, which is kind of what impulse draw usually is.
No black for Yawgmoth's Will.
Yeah. Want want.
They made it difficult because it's green. It doesn't have black.
My Underworld Breach.
Black and red, basically, yeah. It's Bant, so yeah, you got to find Bant cards that work for this. But that's a really good effect if you can.
Yeah,
like, that's super good.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Again, it's a 3/3, so he can be bolted, but he does a lot, man.
How is he? He's a fairy.
He's a fairy.
I guess he is Oko's son. He's Oko's son.
Human.
So.
Yeah. I love how he basically has an energy sword in his hand from Halo.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
That's literally what it looks like in the art.
Oh, yeah.
I guess badass. So,
like, 6 feet away from him, he just lunges.
That's his flying lifelink.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes,
that's,
yes.
There you go.
Flying.
He's got to fly right into you. He lunges.
Lunges.
This is Halo 2 where you're bouncing off of each other, lunging.
Yeah.
To the top.
You're lunging from like 15 feet away because your reticle's red and you're like, it's like a grappling hook, basically. Yeah, like. or the hookshot from Zelda's go. Yeah, that's really good. If you can find the cards to play with it. All right, we have our last card, which is Riku of Many Paths. Green, blue, red for a 3/3 legendary human wizard creature. Whenever you cast a modal spell, choose up to X, where X is the number of times you chose a mode for that spell. So the modes are: exile the top card of your library until the end of your next turn. You may play it. Put a +1/+1 counter on Riku of Many Paths. It gains trample to end of turn. Or create a 1/1 blue bird creature token with flying. So make the bird.
Yeah, that seems like the most logical one. Exiling the top card of your library and playing it till the end of your... Oh, next turn.
Next turn, yeah.
This is next turn.
So I'm, yeah, like, you can stack that up real good. Drop
or pay as much as I can on the modal. Why would I... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have any mana left.
Right.
But it's till your next turn. Okay, that makes it playable. All right.
Yeah.
Both are good.
Oh, there's a lot of... And there are a lot of modal spells where you can choose multiple modes multiple times.
Yeah.
This definitely goes really, really good with that.
Yeah, all the confluences and... all the new spree cards.
Yeah, the spree cards for sure. This is really good with spree cards, honestly, especially the cheap ones. Yeah, I mean, this can really do. Like, yeah, you got to get a fuck ton of birds, and you're going to get a... You can basically stack your next turn if you have nothing in hand, especially, right? Yeah, just a bomb. Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's more just like value. Play some mortal spells, get some more value out of it.
Yeah, it's just more value. Who doesn't want more value, right? It's cheap too. It's only 3. Like, it's pretty good.
All right, then that's all we got.
That's all she wrote.
If you want to get any of these cards, don't forget to use our TCG Player affiliate link. It's in the show notes and on our website, mtgplace.net.
Yep.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit subscribe.
See you next time.
Peace.